Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Oh, we're all welcome to the show. We're not back. Yes. Sometimes I don't even know what segment I'm in. Obviously, this is the beginning. This is the very first part of the show. I started this morning with lack of sleep as I met for an appointment that for some reason was stuck in my head at 6:30 a.m. was actually 7:30 a.m. Who meets at 6:30 a.m. anyway? Right, that's insane. Nobody does that. But I was there ready for the meeting that was happening an hour later. So it's summertime, which means generally I'm sleeping in at least until 8. So getting up at 5:30 this morning, I already put a challenge on my day. But not that it would even be any more chronologically sound anyway. So that's kind of part of it. So it looks like the Congress is House Democrats sitting on the floor. We'll talk about that in this challenge on the gun control. We'll also get into the death penalty and kind of what Pope Francis seems to be putting a kind of a definition on, and what HBO might do to the cultural challenges of marriage. We'll talk about all of that this afternoon and more. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me over on Facebook. You'll see the things we talk about on the show posted over there. You can chime in there or here. 573-4-BREAD-4, the number to call. 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call or text with your responses and conversation anytime. 573-4-BREAD-4. Well, according to the Business Insider, it looks like Burger King has unleashed a wild new weapon, it says, in the fast food wars, Cheetos mac and cheese. So this looks like a big Cheeto puff, but apparently there's just mac and cheese inside. So I don't really know. I guess they fry these. I'm not sure. As a celiac sufferer, this is something that I can eat Cheetos. Interestingly enough, they're corn puffs, right? But the mac and cheese in there, now this just adds complexity and unfortunate difficulty for me. But I am almost tempted, right? Just to say I'll suffer through the consequences to experience what this might be. I mean, my goodness, right? A Cheeto in and of itself, amazingly good. Mac and cheese by itself, unbelievable. And putting those two together, what do you do, right? I mean, my goodness. I'm reminded of the Dixie chili, we used to call it, I guess because it was Dixie chili in the can, but Skyline Cincinnati chili, you know, this type of chili, which I always thought that was weird, right? Because Cincinnati is not really Dixie land that I know of, right? That doesn't make sense. But Dixie chili is a Cincinnati chili, and this particular cinnamon type of flavored chili that we know with Gold Star and Skyline and Dixie, we would get the can of Dixie chili because it was dirt cheap 30-some-odd years ago, and you could mix this into mac and cheese and have a meal that would feed at least your dorm room and maybe a couple of more. And we would do this frequently in college, the Dixie chili feast. Not quite the same thing, but appealing, incredibly appealing. Which, you know, I was thinking about this because I had some Fritos for lunch the other day, which is something I almost never eat. Speaking of a great meal, right? Fritos with the chili, you can do the open up the bag of the Fritos and just pour like a scoop of chili in there and eat it right out of the bag, right? But the all of these college techniques. But the I think I'm convinced at this point, after having those Cheetos just yesterday, that there is no better snack chip on the planet. I can't imagine that anything else exists that's better after eating those. I was thinking that. So interesting discoveries, I think, that we're finding in this situation from Orlando. Now it looks like, well, there may be more than meets the eye here. And this was almost instantaneously suspected by some. I recall this immediately on the heels that this was not a Muslim extremist doing an ISIS type of attack, but that this guy was a practicing homosexual, or at least bisexual. I guess he's got a wife or had a wife and a son, but a practicing bisexual, active in the gay lifestyle, let's put it that way. And there was something about this that just didn't seem to add up. Well, as it seems to be now, according to those who are coming forth and saying, yes, this gentleman was in this lifestyle and had developed a grudge against certain individuals and was in retaliation against them and just happened to have a lot of collateral damage in the process, that's what this was about. Now, if you think about this, there would be some who would say they just want to take the approach of, no, this guy was a radicalized Muslim, and obviously he did the 911 call and said that he was doing this in the name of ISIS. Well, if somebody wanted to kind of take down a couple of individuals at the same time, they could take down the ones literally that they were seeking revenge upon, and do it in the name of someone else that maybe they really don't have affiliation with, but know that it's a convenient scapegoat. Now you get an interesting recipe, right? Very interesting recipe. Now, I believe at this point it's still speculation, and I believe we will never know. We cannot 100% absolutely know for sure, unless there's some investigation that pulls out some written document or something that could be traced back to this individual undisputedly that says this was plotted because of this emotional reaction. But you think about, you know, we have a long history, a very long history of mass shootings, which means it's more than one who is in this unfortunate situation. And by and large, again, as I said on Facebook, I don't know the stats, but I'm sure they're out there. You could find the ones that are relationally motivated versus those that are motivated by some sort of political leaning or religious leaning. I mean, the vast majority of murders are domestic violence situations. And it's someone who cannot control their emotions. In the heat of a moment, the crime of passion, as it's known, something of this nature occurs. Now, that may be against someone who is triangulated in a relationship. It could be against both of those individuals. We know that some states have the Unborn Child Protection Acts that make it murder if a pregnant woman is killed. These things happen out of the emotional inability to handle a situation of this nature. So when you look at these dynamics, we have to know that there is something to the validity, at least, of this being a potential. And certainly when we look at the simple stats of what this could be in relation to what we've speculated it to be, there is much more validity on the side of it being relationally oriented. So it may sound crazy to some. To others, it may sound perfectly logical. I happen to be in the latter of those two camps where I think this makes sense to me. It makes perfect sense to me. And not because I'm the Pollyanna head in the sand, person who says there's no way that this could be radical Islam, because I know better. Yeah, those things happen. Absolutely, those things happen. And they have been well documented occurrences that can perfectly be traced into this connection. But when you look at something of this nature, the particular dynamics, and now what seems to be, why would these individuals come forth and make these crazy claims? Does this happen? Now, that's a good question. Does that happen after something of this nature happens? Do people just start crawling out of the woodwork talking about their gay relationships with someone? I don't know that that's happened. So I have to believe that there is something to this that says this is a pretty solid potential for motivation. And again, not because I want to pretend like there aren't really diabolical things. I mean, this is diabolical any way you look at it. But to, rather than to give it credit for even the credit that was claimed, I'm not sure we could do that. But now to look at this, it certainly makes this situation that much more complex. Because someone who is married and participating in some sort of gay relationship outside of that marriage, that's a confused individual. I don't care where you see relational lines or what you believe about same-sex attraction versus heterosexuality. I don't care. I don't care what you believe, if this is something that happens from birth or whatever. If you're married with a child, obviously in a heterosexual relationship, and at the same time, you've got multiple gay partners, I think it's easy enough to declare that being a problem. I don't think anyone could defend that type of behavior as either common or normal or acceptable. So at the very least, you got to look at it that way. And if what we're seeing is true, which again, there's no reason not to believe this, especially with individuals coming forward that really, I mean, what do they have to gain? Fame? Notoriety? They're going to get a book deal? I mean, you could have all kinds of conspiracy theories to say that, well, this is the motivation here. But again, show me where this happens. If there's a pattern to it and I don't know about it, then I'll stand corrected. Message me over at Facebook, Leo C. Brown, 573-4BREAD-4. You could call. But to my knowledge, I have not seen this happen before. And again, we can go back to so many workplace situations, domestic violence situations. There are times when members of a family murder their family and then kill themselves. This happens. It happens far too frequently from disturbed individuals who happen to have access to guns. And now we got a recipe for disaster, which is what we see here. So the House Democrats sitting on the floor trying to get gun legislation passed. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I've gotten this interesting itch for vintage automobiles. Not that I haven't always had it. I've loved muscle cars of the 70s. Now, I posted this old F-150 on my Facebook page recently. Of course, that's when I get tons of comments. It's not about, well, until recently, the gun versus abortion thing, generally speaking, it's when I post a photo of food or vehicles. And then it's when all everything gets to a fever pitch about that. So I had the old F-150, which I still covet, just so you know. I haven't satiated that covetousness at all. Still looking for the day when I could have such. And then I really started thinking about if I could have any car, really, what would it be? And then I started thinking about the fastback Mustang that I had as a kid. And when I say the fastback Mustang I had as a kid, I mean when I was 4 or 5 years old, I had a Hot Wheels fastback, right? That it was the coolest of my Hot Wheels cars. I loved this Mustang fastback. And so I just kind of thought, dig around the internet, see what's out there, right? So my birth year, 1968, GT fastback Mustang, I've decided this is it. This is the one. This is the dream car. And it's only, you know, $50,000 to $100,000, depending on the condition. I guess I'll just keep dreaming. But, you know, it's good to have dreams, right? It's good to have those things. You just got to set your sights high enough and keep the power of positive thinking, right? I will get a Mustang fastback. I will get a Mustang fastback. We'll see. So I was talking about this earlier, and certainly it looks like the members of Congress now with the Senate kind of not seeing this as being what they wanted as far as legislation is concerned. Now we have House Democrats on the floor, sitting on the floor in kind of a representation of the civil rights movement, this sit-in peaceful protest kind of concept to say, this is what we believe, this is what we want, we're immovable, we're not going to go anywhere until something is done here. And where this will lead, who knows? Will we actually see something coming from this or not? Hard to say. My guess is not, quite frankly, because we're in such a at this moment, especially in time, and maybe it's not so different than it's always been, but this is such a hotly contested issue. It's such an entrenchment issue, and it's going to be really interesting to see where this may lead. Now, I proposed, of course, last week, this idea, what are you willing to compromise? If you're ultra-conservative, or even moderately conservative, and you are a Second Amendment by the book, there's no wiggle room, it's all guns, even those capable of high-capacity magazines and firing multiple bullets within a minute, whatever. If you're immovable, then would you be moved if you could eradicate abortion, right? Just hypothetical. And then, of course, well, you can't, that's dishonest, these are two different issues. I don't care, right? Would you eat an apple if you could get an orange, right? That's kind of what I'm saying. Even if you really, really, really despise the apple and you love, 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 love the orange, would you take a bite of the apple to get the orange because that's what you really want? And certainly it seems like there are those who would not be willing to budge. And I understand the fears of the slippery slopes and this and that, but really, when it comes to getting what you want, is it what you want or is it not? And the exercise that I was attempting here was to kind of say that I believe there's just a lot of disingenuity. Is that what it is? You're disingenuous. You're not really saying what it is you want. There's a lot of lip service that happens on both sides of this political aisle. And unfortunately, this is what we end up with. Lip service, and then when it comes right down to possibly making and getting some traction, moving something forward, immovability. And again, this is happening on both sides. So if we got House Democrats sitting on the floor, well, there's immovability. We see that. Now, would they get up if there was some proposal that said, okay, we'll give in on that if We make abortion 100% illegal, prohibited in all 50 states. You can have your gun measures. We'll see that, right? I mean, that's kind of how politics works, right? There's always this give and take. There's always, that's why we get these bills with the pork extraordinaire, bloated beyond belief, because there's been so much stuff compromised and added in. Well, yeah, we'll do that, and it's a poker game. I'll see your gun control and raise you an abortion, right? That's kind of how it works. Not that I'm saying that that particular dynamic has ever happened, but I'm just talking about how legislation gets done and how things get through. It's because finally there's so much compromise. There's a tipping point of compromise that says, okay, we'll give in, especially anything that's bipartisan. It has to be. Now, if you got enough control of the House and Senate and you can move these through with an imbalance of power, really, because you've got that dynamic happening, that's a different story, but that's not what we're talking about here. So time will tell. We'll see what happens as we watch this developing. And then, of course, the Brexit, right? Is that how you say it? I've never heard it said. I've just read it. Brexit, I think, is how it's referred to. The British exit, perhaps, that could occur from the European Union, the vote which takes place tomorrow, what will happen here? Another interesting dynamic of politics where a member of parliament has lost her life over this issue because of the nationalists who are so much bent on getting Britain back to a independent status, they're willing to kill for it. And that's what we're talking about here. There's a lot of speculation what this could mean. If this exit were to take place, what happens next? Could there be a cascade? Could there be other countries that would follow suit? Will the European Union dissolve? What happens to the economy that certainly is connected and intertwined into this European Union dynamic? Where does that go? Some who predict catastrophic results, some who say, you know what, it's really not that big a deal. It would have to kind of be more of a slower turn, and it's something that, because of the stability, in certainly the British stability and that of Europe in general, it wouldn't be devastating immediately, but, right, there's always knee-jerk reactions to everything. So that one's a very interesting thing that's happening. Maybe nothing will happen. But as we see this conversation and we see this consideration, something worth kind of keeping our eye on over the next couple of days. Hey, circling back around here to kind of what we were talking about a moment ago with situation in Orlando, I posted a story from the Apple News source, and I don't know how, if you can always get into the stories that I post over there, because I've got a news feed that is on an app, and I don't think it takes you to the immediate source necessarily. It takes you back kind of to my app, and unless you've got Apple News, I don't think you can see it. But anyway, interesting, talking about homosexuality and the Islamic faith, we know that Christians are certainly accused of being homophobic, right? That's the big thing. Islamophobic, whatever. Everyone thinks people are afraid of everything, when really it may not be fear at all. It just may be the interpretation of what one believes their faith to dictate. And when you look at passages in Scripture, we don't call for eradication, but there's undoubted references to homosexual acts that are deemed sinful. I don't think you can even remotely argue otherwise based on what is there scripturally. But when you look at apparently the teachings of the Quran, it's quite extreme. And those who would, in Pakistan, toss homosexuals off of buildings, mercifully, in order to save them, this seems to be a prescription. So the big question is, what really is the situation here? Because, yes, there are Muslims who come out in protest of things like Orlando. Vast majority would say this is not the way to go. But then when it comes down to the subtleties and the nuances of what the faith believes and teaches, it still, I would say, as Christians are, Muslims, largely anti-gay. Which, this is where the Catholic ethos becomes very interesting. And if you understand what we believe and why we believe it, now this is even more interesting, I think, when it comes to the acceptance and embracing of one, regardless of what their sexual orientation is. But just as we draw the line on behaviors of heterosexual individuals, we have to realize what the dynamic is there for us all. We'll talk more in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back, and I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, and how we make sense of all of that stuff for 50 minutes every afternoon. Which, as I say, any of the three at any given time can be ridiculously challenging. Put those three together, and now we've got a recipe of often difficulty, right? How do we make them all work together? And that's kind of what we were talking about before the break a moment ago with the challenges of same-sex attraction, certainly in Christianity, in the Muslim faith. What do you do with this? How do you best manage, knowing that this is, as the Catechism clearly says, not a negligible number, I think is something of that phraseology, saying that this is something we got to realize. If we're talking about 2% of the population, well, then that's 2% of the population we've got to understand needs to have some way of addressing this in a way that we can manage, right? Now, of course, when you look at our media, now we're talking about a completely different dynamic of what appears to be maybe 50%. And that's kind of the perception. But regardless of whether it's 0.005 or 500%, which I know would be difficult. But anyway, you get the understanding. It's not about the numbers. It's about the situation. What do we do with it? How do we best address this? And I think the beautiful, now some would disagree with me because they're like, well, Leo, that's still not allowing people to express themselves and be who they are. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that I kind of want to express at times and be who I think I am, or maybe I was 30 years ago, and I realize I can't, right? Because there are restrictions on my behavior. There are promises that I've made. There are things that I have to uphold simply because there are vows that I've taken, right? Any of us could get into a situation where something could get out of line. We've got to guard against that. We've got to have self-control, and praise God, we have grace to guide us. So as Catholics, and I would hope that our Muslim brothers and sisters would embrace the same understanding that it's not the situation. It's not the dynamics of someone's appetites that is the problem. The problem comes down to actions. And when actions are contrary to the giftedness that God has clearly offered, now we've got a problem. But even that problem is something that can be addressed and rectified sacramentally through confession. And that's the beautiful understanding of all of this. And I think, as Catholics, we have a little bit different ownership of this particular issue and a dynamic that's completely different. I would hope others would follow, but sometimes our position is not clearly articulated enough to understand exactly what we believe and why we believe it. Which, of course, we've talked a lot about the indissolubility of marriage. We've talked about what Pope Francis had to say recently with this. What seemed to be off the cuff, then reiterated with a little bit different wording, but still a same understanding that there are those marriages out there that simply are not sacramental because they didn't know what they were getting into in the first place, which is kind of one of the issues of marriage validity. Now, there have been those who are convinced that this just kicked down the door for millions of more divorces to come through because the Pope is offering permission. I don't believe that's the case because I don't think anybody really takes their faith seriously enough to back it up with, well, the Pope said this, so I can do it. No, I'm not worried about that. But I will say this. The news that I saw today, and I posted this on my Facebook page with this new HBO program, and I don't know where it's going. I'm just, if it's going where I think it's going, which it appears to be glorifying divorce in kind of this situational comedy, Sex in the City, Sarah Jessica Parker kind of dynamic where it's cool to be divorced because their problems are getting solved. They're becoming friends again. They're back in some sort of a workable relationship dynamic, whatever. This, to me, has much more cultural impact than anything Pope Francis says. I mean, you look at the power of the cultural power of the miniseries, that there are those who kind of mimic this and live in fantasy worlds because of it doesn't have to be a miniseries. It could be a continuing drama of cinematic presentations. But there's a tremendous amount of culture influenced by entertainment. And we certainly know this, and you look at this, see the stats. It's true of suicides, unfortunately, and it's true of divorces. There is something that is contagious. There's a contagion, right? And people see things happening, and they think, well, they did that, I can do it. And generally, it's why even if celebrities by chance, and not always the case, but There was a time, let's put it this way. There was a time 30 years ago when I went through journalism training at the university where we had ethics and we talked about things of this nature. And there was a dynamic of there's a certain degree of discretion because of what it could lead to. And not everybody needs to know everything because there's a contagion in these type of stories. Well, same is true for divorce, especially in work environments. It happens where one divorces, others follow suit because, well, that person did it and they're better off now. Look at that. And then this cascade happens from that one opening that door. So my question is, who's going to get concerned about HBO and the divorce show? Which, again, I haven't seen it, but I've seen the preview. I've seen the trailer. It looks like what I think it is, making very light of this and even glorifying the divorce experience of this couple. Again, with Sarah Jessica Parker back in an HBO series. Who knows, right? I think there's much more cultural damage from something of this nature than from anything our Holy Father presents. Because as he presented it, it was presented to be a point of admonishment, really, right? Exhortation to us to understand that there's something better. And even if there's a situation maritally where maybe we don't get it, maybe it's time to get it. And I think if you pick up that document, Amoris Laetitia, and take it remotely seriously, you're going to walk away from that with an understanding of, wow, I'm missing the mark. Everybody's missing them. And nobody can Let's put it this way. Nobody is living up to this. I don't want to say nobody can live up to it, because we can. The grace of God allows that, but we're generally not. We're generally not there because we get far too complacent and are willing to just kind of accept things that we don't necessarily need to accept. And that cultural influence, I believe, is a huge dynamic of that. Well, speaking of the Pope's influence, we'll see where it goes this time, because now he is coming out with what appears to be certainly seems to be pretty darn definitive statement regarding the death penalty. We know that there is the interesting caveat that many Catholics will hang their conservative hat on that says, oh, but wait, the Catechism clearly says that death penalty is allowable, but at the same time, there is the understanding that it is certainly not preferable. And as Saint John Paul II says, virtually inexcusable, because of the fact that our criminal justice system is what it is. Now there are those, I'm sure, first of all, there are those who are convinced that Pope Francis is some sort of like egomaniac, and all he wants to do is just get press. Like, okay, I'm going to say something crazy and the cameras will be on me and it'll be all over the place. Well, maybe he's doing that just to spread truth and to show that, you know what, Catholicism is darn relevant. And there's something about the things that this guy says that get people's attention, because it does address the challenges that we deal with. And when he says the death penalty is inadmissible, is apparently what the recent quote is, maybe that should get our attention. And if there are those who want to argue this, like there are always are those who want to argue it and say, well, that's up to the state and we don't need to. Well, why are you so bloodthirsty? I think that's a question you got to ask. Why are you so bent on revenge that you want to go there, of all places? Because if that's what you're wanting, what differentiates that degree of revenge from those who would act out in this fashion that we saw in Orlando, which apparently appears to be revenge-oriented, based on the relationships that this guy happened to be in? Where do you draw the line? Well, the state can do this. They get permission, right? They can make those decisions. We can't. A little bit of a double standard. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown. Almost Hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. God bless.